Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life."
Good morning, everyone. Our reading this morning is from John chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the one who had poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After this, he said, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So when he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whosoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply troubled in spirit. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then Jesus said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you will always hear me, but I said this is for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Amen. And may God bless this reading of his word.
Every evening, since the end of March, the news has included a report on how many people have died from COVID-19 in the last 24 hours. And this week, the country saw a landmark figure with past 50,000 deaths. It used to be that the ups and downs of the stock market were reported nightly, along with the price of gold and the value of the pound against the dollar. Well, that seems to have disappeared. And instead, we are being forced to face the grim reality that this is a virus that can kill. Death, of course, is nothing new. Each year, just over 500,000 people in Britain die. It's one of the two certainties in life, isn't it? Death and taxes. And yet, strangely, we've never quite got used to death. When somebody dies that we know, we don't just treat it as commonplace. Depending on the circumstances, we're either shocked or distressed. At the very least, we're saddened. We are always upset by the news, just as Martha and Mary were upset when their brother Lazarus died. Now, the story of the death and raising of Lazarus is one that Christians regard as one of the most precious in all the Gospels, because it is here, in the midst of the tears and the sorrow, that the Lord Jesus made one of his most astounding claims for himself. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Now, the story begins. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. John actually hasn't mentioned Lazarus and his sisters before. He presumes that we know them, probably because he's the last of the four Gospels to be written, so he assumes that people know who they are. But Luke tells us about them. In a town called Bethany, very close to Jerusalem, a woman named Martha opened her home to Jesus. She was the one who felt she had to look after everybody. She was distracted, says Luke. Distracted by all the preparations of making her guests comfortable. But on the other hand, her sister Mary, instead of lending a hand, she decided to sit at the feet of Jesus along with the men, listening to him teach. She recognized the value of stopping and listening. Two very different sisters, but now united in grief. Their beloved brother Lazarus is sick, and their first instinct is to call for Jesus. Lord, the one you love is sick. That's the message they sent to Jesus. Now, did you get that? The one you love is sick. God's love for us is not a fence around us that will keep us from the trials and tribulations of life. God loved Joseph, but he was sold into slavery, wrongly accused, thrown into jail, forgotten about. God loved Daniel, but he was thrown into the lion's den. God loved the Apostle Paul, but goodness me, how many times was he beaten and left for dead, chained to a prison wall, lashed, shipwrecked, betrayed by those he thought were his friends? Lord, the one you love is sick. But actually, There is where our hope lies, our encouragement, our confidence. The answer to our cries for help do not depend on our weak, frail love for God, but on His love for us. Jesus receives the news that Lazarus is sick, and like a very good friend, he drops everything that he's doing and he rushes south to Bethany. No, he doesn't. He delays. Verse 6, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Actually, a more accurate translation there would read, when therefore he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days. When he heard, I'm going to stay 2 more days. In other words, there's no surprise. There's no panic. Jesus deliberately delays. Now, the disciples, of course, they don't understand what's going on. They take the Lord's relaxed attitude as an indication that things aren't too bad. This sickness will not end in death, says Jesus. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So, the disciples are taken aback when 2 days later, Jesus announces that, yeah, we're going to go back down south. But Rabbi, they say, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there. But Jesus knows that now his time has come. Lazarus' death is the trigger that sets him on the course towards his own death. Raising Lazarus to life will be his final miracle, the final sign pointing to who he really is. Now, let me ask you this question. What word have we repeatedly heard as we have been considering the I Ams of Jesus these past few weeks? I am the light of the I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is all about life. He could have healed Lazarus at a distance. He didn't need to be physically present. But Jesus has in mind something far more wonderful than healing a sick man. He is going to raise a dead man to life. And Jesus can actually say to the disciples, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Now that sounds so callous of Jesus. I am glad that I was not there. But you see, he has a higher plan in mind. His higher plan is far more than we should just be happy with what he does. He wants us to believe in him. To believe in him in every circumstance. And in so doing, to glorify him. Have you ever found yourself questioning the Lord's timing? Have you ever found yourself praying through the tears, Lord, the one you love is sick. Lord, the one you love is desperate. Lord, have mercy on the one you love. It's not a long prayer. It's not a bargaining prayer. It's just a simple prayer. Lord, the one you love is. And what was God's answer? Nothing. There was no answer. There wasn't a yes, there wasn't a no. There wasn't a maybe. There wasn't a wait and see. There was just nothing. Nothing. The Lord just stays where he is, as it were. And what we hoped would never happen, happened. And what we tried to avert became a reality. Our prayer has not been answered. Actually, the very opposite has happened. Have you ever wondered to yourself, what is God playing at? What is the Lord playing at? Jesus reaches Bethany to be told that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Now that's quite significant because there was this superstitious belief among the Jews at that time that the spirit hung around the dead body, the host body, for 3 days, really kind of waiting to be convinced that the host body was really dead. So 4 days means really dead. He's dead. He's dead and gone. He's dead and buried. And Martha comes out to greet the Lord. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I find the conversation, reading that conversation, really quite painful. Very painful conversation. She can't quite bring herself to reject Jesus, you know, to turn him away. But she really does feel let down. Lord, she says, if you had been here, it's faith mixed with disappointment. And Mary says the same, doesn't she? She falls at Jesus' feet. She calls him Lord. The honour, the respect are there. But you can still hear the question, can't you? Why? Why were you not here? Why did you not come in time? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Listen very carefully to what Jesus says to her. It's in verse 23. Your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Now, Martha interprets Jesus to be stating a common Jewish belief that all the good and pious Jews would rise from their graves on the last day. And that's why she says to him in verse 24, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection in the last day. She takes Jesus to be giving her platitudes. You know, it's the kind of thing that everybody would have been saying to her, don't worry, Lazarus will rise in the last day. Just like nowadays, you know, when people are not really too sure what to say to the bereaved, you know, it's for the best, and they're at peace now, she's in a better place. It's meant kindly, of course it is. It doesn't really mean anything. I want to assure you, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ does not deal in platitudes or cliches. He is speaking reality here. Reality. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. What's Jesus doing here? Jesus is drawing Martha away from some kind of abstract, theoretical belief in some resurrection that will happen way in the future. And he is drawing her attention to himself, to a personal belief in him. It's not just that Jesus is able to raise the dead. He himself is the resurrection. It's just like when he said, I am the bread of life. It's not that Jesus gives us the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Or when he said, I am the gate. Jesus doesn't just open the gate of life to us. He is the gate. It's not just that Jesus can raise the dead. He is the one, the only one, in whom there is resurrection. Whoever believes in him will live, even though they die. Whoever lives and believes in him will never die. The death of the believer does not end in death. Does not end in death. And to prove that these were not just empty words, to prove that this wasn't just some kind of vain boast, the Lord Jesus approaches the tomb. He orders the stone to be removed. And he calls in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. come out. And it says in verse 44, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. The story starts with sickness, with an anxious prayer, with disappointment. But look how it ends, my friends. Look how it ends. It ends with resurrection. It ends with the Lord Jesus being glorified just as he said he would. You see, the Lord Jesus knows what he's doing. He can see the end from the beginning. Now, we can't do that. We can't. And we're so impatient, aren't we? We don't like what's happening now, and we want it to stop. We want it all over and done with, and we want that done now. Now, this instant. And we forget that if we are to experience the resurrection power of Christ in our lives, we first have to die. We first have to die. The Apostle Paul understood this. Philippians 3 verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. I want to know that power, says Paul. And that's the way it always has been for people of faith. When Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, he must have wondered, what is God playing at? When he was falsely accused of trying to seduce his master's wife, and when he was thrown into jail, he must have asked, what is God doing? But what was the end? The end was that Joseph emerged as the Prime Minister of Egypt and was used by God to save hundreds of thousands from starvation. And the living God was glorified. Even the Lord Jesus himself faced the agony of the cross by looking beyond the cross. It says in Hebrews 12 verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew that Good Friday would be followed by Easter Day. He knew that the cross and the tomb would be followed by resurrection and glory. I want to say to you, to those of you who love the Lord and who are loved by the Lord, to those of you who believe in him, you're not going to be spared life's tragedies. Well, Jesus himself was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So why should it be any different for those of us who are his followers? And no doubt, time after time, throughout a lifetime, we will call out, Lord, the one you love. Lord, the one you love is... Are you willing to accept that your loving Heavenly Father will answer that prayer in the way that will bring him the most glory? Not you, him, the most glory. There might well be an immediate and spectacular answer. That does happen. That brings God's glory. But there may be delay. It may mean there will be death and grief and loss. No matter the outcome, never lose sight of Christ's words. I am the resurrection and the life. Not I will be the resurrection and the life. Not a vague promise about the future, indefinite, uncertain. I am. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And that's why, my friends, that for every believer, every Good Friday, Every crucifixion, every dying day is followed by its own Easter day, its own day of resurrection, its own day of victory. Death and sorrow will never have the last word. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? You know, the time may well come when I, as your pastor, may be called to your deathbed. And your relatives will want me to cheer you up. They will want me to make you feel better. They will want me to rally you with platitudes and cliches. But if I am to minister to your soul, if I am to do you eternal rather than just momentary good, I will whisper in your ear, dear brother, dear sister, you have glorified God in your living. Now glorify him in your death. May the Lord God give us the grace to affirm with Martha, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Yes, Lord, I believe.